Bibles, turn back to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, text verse again is verse number 66. This morning we preach from the very opening line of verse 66. And Jesus said, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And we read about the great multitudes that were following him at that time. They had just, the day before, Jesus had fed the 5,000 and all their family members, crowds of 15, maybe as many as 20,000 people. And the next day they show up again. They want their needs met yet again. And Jesus called them out. He called them out. He said, I know why you're here. And many have left the Lord because God didn't cooperate with their plans. And, you know, we don't need God on our page. We need to get on God's page, don't we? Many left because of unmet expectations. Then he began his dissertation on the bread of life. And they were negotiating with him. They wanted to see some more signs and wonders. And they said, you know, Moses, he brought manna from heaven, you know. And you know, mate, why don't you do something like that? We need some proof that you are the prophet of which we read in Deuteronomy. And why don't you make some manna? And Jesus' answer, and I'm paraphrasing in verse number 32, is this: that a man didn't make manna; God made the manna, and my Father made the manna, and. They retort then in verse number 40. They say, well, then modern day Moses, prophet, won't you give us some bread? They said the same thing that the woman at the well said. She said, give us living water. What she didn't know was he was the water. And they said to him, give us this bread you're talking about. He said, I am the bread. You don't need a miracle from me. You need me. That's what he was trying to say to them. That offended their religious pride. And he said, look, I'm not the supplier, I'm the bread. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Amen. He's not the way to salvation. He is salvation. And now we read our text in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? This morning we spoke on that subject. Many went back. And tonight we speak on the subject, will ye also go away? Heavenly Father, please, through the power of your Spirit, help me to help your people. It's been a sweet day, Lord. It's been a great week. And this service is important, though it's shortened for the sake of fellowship tonight, which is important. Yet give empower what thy people need in this service, in this sermon. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn back, if you would, in verses 60 and 61. Jesus has finished his dissertation on the cross. And he says to them in verse number 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Doth this offend you? Glance up at chapter, at verse number 42, the same chapter. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I am come down from heaven? Mark 6 and verse number 3 gives account of this same story. And it said, and they were offended. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And they look at him and say, man, what are you talking about, the bread of life? We know who you are. We know where you grew up. We know your family. What do you mean you're somehow you come from God? We know your family. Don't you know we know who you are? And they were offended that he would suggest himself as the only hope for salvation. You know, Paul talked about in Galatians 6, he talked about the offense of the cross. And may I remind you that many will be offended by our message. Many come. I love to see the crowds come. I love to see the crowds come. And you know, I bumped into a few people who were so spiritual, they didn't believe in crowds. Now, our crowds is not the goal. At least it ought not be the goal. Amen. Souls of men, that's the goal. Amen. But if you wouldn't rather see 10 people saved than one saved, there's something wrong with you, I think. The crowds came, and Jesus did not pander to the crowds. In fact, he, with his preaching, he thinned the crowd down. He thinned the crowd down. Some of you are so excited. And man, Pastor, I had a visitor, and they came, and you preached and blew them out of the water, and they won't come back. It's not me, friend. But the cross, the message of the cross, it offends our sensibilities. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the offense of the cross. You see, listen, many today, let me tell you what's wrong with much of Christianity today. It's not what is being said, it's what's being left out. It's what we're not willing to say anymore. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody. And so we just kind of water everything down where it's palatable. Let me tell you something. The cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the bread. He's the bread. And he's the only way to satisfy that eternal need in the soul of a man. It's not Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that or Jesus along with some other God or some other way. He is the exclusive way, and therein lies the offense. The subject of Galatians 5 is this controversy about whether or not the circumcision was still a requirement to be a real Christian, so to speak. And Paul said, look, he said, if I add that, as you got to do this to prove you're saved, he said, I've removed the offense of the cross. The point is, he said, it's the exclusivity of Calvary that offends. It's not, people don't mind you saying, I love Jesus. People don't mind saying, I believe in God. It's when you say Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that's when the offense comes. Many will be offended. Now, my friend, listen to me. Sooner or later, may I say this, sooner or later, and probably we could take time for testimonies, but we got a 1-hour service, so we got to get with it. But sooner or later, you're going to sit in church and you're going to get offended. You're going to get offended. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get your toes stepped on. And not just by the pulpit. That mean old principal will probably hurt your feelings. That stuck up youth pastor. God's people will offend you in some way. I have a question, and I ask it on behalf of my Savior. Will ye also go away? A whole multitude left. A whole bunch of folks. I mean, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And many went back, he said. Many went back. And then he looked, he turned and looked at the ones who were left. He said, y'all leaving too? Y'all leaving too? Will ye also go away? You know what we need? We need some believers who will last. We need some believers who will last. We've been having refrigerator woes at our house. And I called my refrigerator connection, Brother Sam Hamilton. And that's Miss Rebecca's brother. And his dad, Mike, took care of our appliances for years and so forth. Said, Brother Sam. And I said, this is what we got going on. And this is what we got to go. He said, put your hand over here, you know, and feel that. And what's the temperature? What's it doing? What's it sounding like? Open the door, Tim, the light does it. And I'm on the phone, he diagnosed. He said, here's what you need. He said, you need a computer board. I said, all right. And it's a refrigerator he's worked on before. And he said, now, preacher, here's the way it is. He said, you can get you a $300, $400 computer board with a service call. It's going to cost you about $500. And he said, it might last you another 2 years, might not. He said, preacher, refrigerators are not made to last. He said, refrigerators will last you 5 to 7 years. Here's what he said. When it comes to refrigerators, price does not equal quality. Price equals exotic. That's what he said. He said price equals exotic. He said, and keep in mind, a $5,000 refrigerator that's on sale for $1,300 is still an exotic refrigerator. He said, and guess what? Exotic refrigerators last 5 to 7 years, except it costs you 2, 3, 4 times as much to fix an exotic refrigerator as it does a basic refrigerator. Man, I was about ready to repent for every automatic water dispenser, every automatic ice maker I ever bought in my life. He had me under conviction. And so guess what I did this week? I bought me a $700 refrigerator. Glory! Amen! Got my toe stepped on and I grew from it. Amen. You know, we need some believers that'll last. We bought a refrigerator. It was 19 years old when we bought it. 19-year-old refrigerator when we first got here. 19-year-old refrigerator. Use it for another 8, 9, 10 years. And if I'd have known it, I would have kept that thing. I didn't know it. I'd have kept that thing. Man, we need some refrigerators that last. Walter Orthman just turned 100 this year, January the 6th. His name went in the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest career in the same business, 84 years and 9 days. He started when he was 50. He lives in Brazil. He started when he was 15, and now he's 100 years old at the same job. You know what we need? We need some Christians that are built to last. Amen. Listen, this world is pandered. Society panders. We've made the terrible mistake of turning the family upside down. And everybody says, children first, children first. No, 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 no. Daddy, mama, kid. Look, let me say, God, daddy, mama, kid. That's Bible. We pander to the kids, and we're ruining our society as such, mighty friend. We need some Christians that'll last. This last week, I got to preach with Dr. Williams, and that was the first time I ever preached. Of course, he preached for us lots of times. That's the first time I ever got to preach with him and share the platform with him. And 86, and knocking on 87, he'll be 87 by the time he comes this fall, and preaching for 60 plus years. And it was a great blessing, a great honor, and a great challenge to me this fall. Good Lord willing, Dr. Comfort will be with us at age 84, who has also been preaching for 60 plus years. I rode back and forth to the church, to the hotel, with Brother Arthur Scott, Pastor Arthur Scott, 84 years old. And as of July the 6th, he and his wife will have been married for 60 years. She lay at home, eat up with cancer on her deathbed under hospice care. And she said, honey, don't you miss your meeting. You go preach now. And he came to preach. His wife ate up with cancer at home. He said, Pastor, pray that I make it another 3 years. If I can make it 3 more years, I'll be preaching 70 years. Hey, I like that. We need some Christians. We need some. The average member stays at a church 7 years or less. You say, bunch of church hoppers. That's not the real church hoppers, because the preachers stay 3 years or less. The preachers in the pulpit stay 3, average, across the nation, stay 3 years or less. Hey, listen, you know what? Listen, why? It's sort of like trading in your wife or your husband, really? You think they're not going to have problems too? And it's going to take you so long to try to figure them out. You say, oh, I never could figure out the other one. But what are you going to... Look, man, you're going to have to start back at ground zero. Is everybody okay? Yeah. Listen, we need some folks that... The fundamental contract of our society is a marriage vow. The word integrity has to do with keeping a contract. That's what integrity is tied to. If you have integrity, you'll keep your contract. No, it's fundamental contract, societal contract, is a wedding vow. If it's anything that's destroyed our nation and our world, it's no fault divorce. And everything else goes down from there. Well, we just fell out of love. You don't fall in love. You'll fall out of love. You make up your mind to love. That's what you do. I know this is not popular, but it's so true. We need some believers who will last. Who will last. Who can stand some wear and tear. Who can endure hardness, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Who will last. Now look back at our text here. They left him because of unmet expectations, religious pride, and now personal offense. Personal offense. Ask you a question, what are you going to do when you get your feelings hurt? We stood right there, was walking to the car, and Bobby Robinson pastored the same church 65 years, and we were walking to the car. He had been here preaching. We were walking to the car, and on the way to the car, he said, Preacher, he said, you know what you need as a pastor? I said, $1 million? He said, yeah, besides that. He said, you need a soft heart and a tough hide. That's pretty good advice. Amen. You need that. I mean, you need that as a mama and as a daddy. God's people need a soft heart and a tough hide. Amen. Too many of us carry our feelings on our sleeve and we take offense. Oh, listen, I remember some years ago, it's been quite a few years ago, and I you won't know who I'm talking about, and I wouldn't reveal Miss Brittany's name for the life of me. Anyway, but I got, lady, she was coming to church, get involved and so forth, like, just boom, stop, just stopped. And it was gone a couple, 3 weeks. I thought, well, she's sick, or, you know, I should have checked on her. But anyway, I didn't. I can't believe you sent me that letter. And I hadn't remembered. I said, you know, quite a few letters. I didn't remember saying a letter. She said, you know, the one about my giving. I was like, what? I had all the dates and everything on there, and it dawned on me. It's automatically sent out by the finance office, and if you're a member for your tax purposes, it's your giving record. 50 days she hadn't given, she was robbing God. I didn't know she was robbing God until she told me. Can I tell you something, my dear friend? Somewhere along offended. Jesus, you say, well, you ought to be sweeter than that. I'm just trying to be like you. Doth this offend you? Are you going to be offended? That's what he said. Are you going to be offended? Are you going to get your feelings hurt? Are you going to walk away? Are you going to leave me too? Jesus asked these questions. Will you also go away? Look what he said in verse number 64. But there are some of you that believe not. There are some of you that believe not. Away because of unmet expectations. God doesn't cooperate with their plans. Religious pride sends a bunch of... There are some of you that believe not. Some of you pretend to believe, you're a false professor. May I say this, my dear friend, somewhere along the line, by God's grace, somewhere along the line, you've got to get your heart and mind set on Jesus Christ. Christianity, dear friend, we represent Christ. We are His ambassadors, yes, but Christianity is Christ. Amen. Christianity is Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is intact. Amen. Church, the institution for which Jesus gave His life, God purchased with Acts 23 with His own blood, that which He nourishes, Ephesians 3. It's God's institution. And Matthew 16, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Get your eyes off of people and back on the Holy One of God. That's what He said. The book of Hebrews over there. The weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is by our faith. Down in verse number 70. One of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot. Expectations and religious pride and personal offense. And their eyes on a hypocrite. And this is a statement of fact. This is not a defense of anything. And you live for Christ for a long period of time, and somewhere along the line, you're going to experience. They trusted Judas so much, they gave him the bag. He was the one who planted the kiss of betrayal on the cheek of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so that means I've been saved for, I guess, about 42 years, something like that, 43, since I was a boy. And I've been in church all my life. I was in church life. And can I say this? One of the toughest things about the Christian life is when people you love, somebody who's mentored you one time, that led you, someone you admired, someone you learned, and to see them fall away from the truth and maybe go into sin or leave the truth. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mr. Christian, Brother Hamilton, be the Apostle Paul. And he said, follow me even as I follow Christ. And may I say this, my dear friend, continue. There's some still following on. There's some still following on. Listen, I'm not suspicious. I need Christian friends. I need some godly mentors. Amen. That's why I don't read out of, I'm not going to learn how to grow a church if God don't even have enough sense to go soul winning. I'm not going to try to learn how to build a church for a guy who can't even figure out I need some godly mentors. He said, what's that? They're fading off the scene. Well, bless God. MP3 player, and you can get on there and you can still listen. They being dead yet speak. Amen. Senior jumping up and down on your toes for a little while, and then turn on Curtis Hudson, then turn on, hey, listen to me. You follow those who follow Christ. who once led you may fall by the wayside. God, you keep following. Listen, I think we swung the pendulum. And just get your strength from a man. I connect to God yourself. Amen. But we've swung the pendulum so far over here. So no, any like genuine Christian who actually thinks he's supposed to worship. But we've overemphasized this point almost to the point we won't look to men of God. Listen, you're great men, and you need to get under some great men. Let them preach you. Let them step on your toes. If an admirer step goes by the wayside, listen, I love those faithful men, but my lead, and I follow those who follow Christ. Amen. Sooner or later, thank you, man. Sooner or later, you might suffer a betrayal of trust. But your allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Amen. I will everywhere, I will follow on, follow Jesus. Anywhere He leads me, I will follow on. What a piercing question. Brother Hamilton, you've been here 22 years almost. I'm talking about those who taught Sunday school classes, worked the bus routes, won souls crowd last 22 years, was sitting in this room tonight. They wouldn't fit in this room, would they? They wouldn't fit in these seats. They'd be up down the hallway and fill up the foyer. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we fail. One prayer request. Here's what it was. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. Amen. You know what the one prayer request He gave His people while He was on the... He said, man, we need help. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we love You.